Welcome back to our show. I'm Gary Fretz, and we're talking about transport in foreign countries and speaking English. Now, Estelle, you're an expert on this, so please talk about, like, do you really need to know foreign languages, or can you just get by on English?
You can pretty much get by with English everywhere. People are very, very friendly everywhere. They always want to help you. We did learn languages in the different countries, however. We learned to speak a little bit of Malagash, a little bit of Turkish, French, Italian, by going to the markets, pointing at stuff, and people would give us the names of the different fruits or vegetables, whatever we want to buy. And then, of course, going to the bar, ordering your drinks. I think those are certainly the first words we learn in a different language. But yes, languages was never a problem for any one of us. Certainly, not, I don't think you found any problems, Stephen.
Yeah, well, I mean, you remember, I'm bilingual. I speak English and BS. So, I've got a wide range of communication skills. But, languages are fine. As long as you speak English, French is a good language to know. Spanish is a great language to know. But, when you're cruising and you're meeting the real people, everyone's very accommodating. And, you know, there are ways to communicate over and above just the language thing.
Very good. And talking about transportation in foreign countries, is there anything else that you can tell us about, like how you get around? It just seems kind of a mystery to a lot of people.
Yeah, like we said before, you use the local transport. It's the cheapest way to travel. It's the easiest way to travel. It's also the way that you learn about the country. And like we said, you know, that every country has a name for their specific transport.
But like, okay, if you get on a bus or something, how do you know how much it is? Because it seems like whenever I'm in a foreign country, it never shows the price.
No, it doesn't. So, and that's why you want to go with the local people, because inevitably somebody will take the money and say, this is how much it costs, and give the conductor the money or the guy who's in charge, and they never rip you off. It's usually, we found, you know, the taxi drivers that will take their chances. But we have an interesting bicycle story, by the way, Gary.
Really?
Yeah. We used to carry these little fold-up bicycles called Dahons. Now, I'm 6'4", and built like a Greek god. And
yeah, Stephen looked like Tiki the Clown.
And so when I'm sitting on a little Dahon bicycle that has, like, I guess, 10-inch diameter wheels, and this whole bicycle fits into a gym bag, and you have to unfold this thing. Anyway, we got to Israel, and I always carried weapons. I believe in carrying weapons, and we arrived in Israel, and this gunboat pulled up next to us, and, you know, Israeli military asked me if I had a weapon, and I said, absolutely, I have a weapon. So they said, okay, we'll bring it with us. And so I was put on this gunboat, and they charged off to the port, and I had to declare my weapon and sign all the declarations, and they kept my weapon in safekeeping. They then took me and put me back on the boat, and we went to the marina and had a great visit in Israel. That's a story for another time. But anyway, so then I called them and said, okay, I'm ready to leave. Send that nice gunboat and fetch me so I can get my gun back. And it was a pretty big gun. It was it's a shotgun that has it looks like a giant Tommy gun. So it's not a little thing you can conceal. And they said, no, you've got to come fetch it. So I said, well, I don't have transport. They said, well, we're not sending a gunboat to give it back. We only send a gunboat to take it away. I said, well, geez, all right. So I got out the kit bag, and I got this little bike, and I folded it, unfolded it, and got on it, and pedaled along. And I thought, okay, it'll just be a mile to the first gate to get in the port, because this was the port called Haifa, which is a long, skinny port that runs along the bay. Long story short, I got there. It's about a 5-mile ride on this ridiculous little circus bicycle. Got there. They gave me my gun. I said, okay, well, now put me on that nice gunboat and take me back to my boat. No, you can go. I said, You sent a gunboat to take this from me. Now you give it to me, and now I'm going to ride back right through the entire Israeli population with this giant weapon strapped to my back. And they said, yes, go. So there I was, pedaling along. And, you know, there was like a sort of a semi-highway, and I'm pedaling along. I got this gun strapped to my back, and it's, as I say, it's a big weapon. Pedaling along, I mean, I was absolutely exhausted when I got back. It was terrible because the cars would go past so fast, the wind would hit me from, you know, the slipstream, and I'd be shaking on the bicycle. But anyway, got back, got my gun, and we decided, and we left. So, you know, sometimes you've got to really think, you know, if I did that again, I'd just pay a taxi.
By the way, the first time I ever saw Stephen in person, they cruised into South Florida on their boat, and he was on this little scooter that seemed to be like made for a 100-pound woman. And here he is, 6'4". How much do you weigh?
200 now.
Okay. So he rode up on this scooter. It was so ridiculous. This big guy. It's like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Anyway, now concerning weapons, let me just tell you, I heard about this weapon. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I heard about this thing. I didn't have one, but I've always wanted one. It's a revolver flare gun, and it's totally legal. It's not classified as a firearm, you know, because it's a flare gun. And have you ever seen these things with the revolver, and you carry them on the boat, and if you get hit with one of these flares, you are dead. I mean, it's 2,000 degrees of phosphorus burning.
Hey, I just 2 days ago saw, and it's actually not a revolver, it's a flare gun. It breaks like a shotgun. And it takes a flare. And I actually sold a boat 2 days ago. We're doing survey, and we went into the emergency kit, and I broke open the flare gun, and inside was an insert that fits into the flare gun that takes a 12 gauge shotgun round.
Nice.
So yep, you get all sorts. I used to carry a little the pencil flares, which took a 2-2 round, which you could carry in your pocket. So, you know, I mean, I'm a big believer in, you know, you're sailing in international waters. You're not doing anything wrong. This is for protection. And so if I'm sailing around the world, you know, whenever I go offshore, I always make sure that I'm armed for my own protection.
Now, some listeners have asked about what is the procedure in a lot of these third world countries about declaring weapons and having weapons on the boat? I mean, can you just talk a little bit about that? A lot of people are wondering about that.
Well, you know, that every single country has a different rule. What I had is I had a locker that you could lock and you could put a seal through it so that if customs came on board and they weren't going to take my weapon, I would agree with them that I would put the weapon in the locker. It was like a safe, and there was a place where they could actually put a seal through it so that they could make sure that I didn't access it while I was there. But every country is different. You know, some countries you don't declare them. Egypt, for example, I went and told them I had a weapon. I gave them the weapon number, etc., and they made me promise I wouldn't use it. So I promised, and that was the end of the story. Israel, they sent a gunboat to fetch it. In Lebanon, I sailed into Lebanon, and they came on board and asked if I had weapons, and I told them I did, and they took it away. They called me Al Capone after that because, as I said, that gun looked like a giant Tommy gun. Most European countries after that, including Turkey, just wanted to seal it so that you didn't use it. A lot of them, you have to declare how many rounds you're carrying. And some countries don't even care. They don't even want to know because essentially it's not your weapon. The weapon belongs to the vessel. So whenever I declare it, I declare it as the ship's weapon and ship's equipment.
Yes, and I've talked to other cruisers who have been around some of the Banana Republic countries of the Western Caribbean, and they were told, you have to declare your weapons and bring them into the police station, and they do that. And, you know, the guy puts a tag on it or something, and then they say, well, when you're ready to leave the country, just come back and you can get it. Well, and they come back and they lost it. So that's why sometimes they don't always get declared. But now let me ask you something. Don't you think it's a great thing to have like a safe on your boat? And did you ever have that, or, you know?
Yeah, Gary, we have a safe on our boat now. You know, we used to have a secure locker that we could lock and seal, but now we actually have a safe. You know, generally, you know, if you're carrying weapons, it's always good to have a sort of a throwaway one you declare, and then I always try and keep an extra one or two just handy.
I think that's great advice. And we've run to the end of this particular show, and I want to thank you for all your stories and comments. And you have been listening to Yachts, the perfect escape vehicle, only on the Overseas Radio Network.